As we begin the third week of Lent, the Church pays special attention and will, in a very particular way from now on those who are getting ready for baptism. And so this is a really sort of, there's several things in these texts. And one is the mystery of water. Why did God choose water to be the instrument to give us divine life? And he did. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. And then there's the whole question of our drama. If things are big and impressive and dramatic, they must be great. Huh? And if they're little, like Naaman, he's mad because he has to go wash in the water. I mean, I'm a general. I mean, I go wash in the water. And that would have been the end of that. He would have never been healed. And then Jesus preaching in the town here and not accepted. Not impressive enough. You know, we need a little more bells and whistles. We need a little more excitement. I mean, you just come talk to us about the Father. I mean, and so he warns them. You know, this has always happened, hasn't it? Israel was the recipient of these great people, but they all did their work outside of Israel. Elijah lived a long time outside of Israel during the whole famine, and that widow took care of him that whole time. Remember that story? And then we just heard the story of Naaman. And so what are we waiting for? What do we need for a conversion? You know, that all the trees in the neighborhood stand up and turn around and jump up and down and go back down on the earth again? I mean, what are we waiting for? Don't we have the Word of God? Haven't we heard the Lord tell us? Have a change of heart. Come to me, I'll forgive you. Listen to me. You know, get the clutter out of your heart. What do we need more than that? So there's that dimension too, you see. All of these are here because now the people are going to be, they're being told, can you imagine, have you ever worked with people coming to faith to see the power that's at work in their lives? It is awesome, awesome. There is God at work in a human spirit bringing them to know God, a thing they cannot do without themselves. Without him, nor can we. And to see this, I remember a friend of mine, one of the chief librarians of Israel, Leah. And her expertise was right in the field where I work, so we got to know each other. And this Benedictine priest was working with her. She was her whole life an atheist. But she spent an hour a day in silence. She said, I've got to at least stay in touch with myself. You know, I mean, I just can't keep running around. So she spent an hour a day in silence, not praying, didn't know who to pray to, just quiet. The Lord began to work on her life. It was so powerful. It was so beautiful. I'm her godfather. So as the other priest was baptizing her, I was there, and I watched. As the water went over her face, her whole face changed. There was such peace. There was such radiance. It was only water. Well, was it only water? No. But it was the grace of Jesus Christ working through the water. Well, why didn't he just do it without the water? Because we are spirit and matter. And God comes to us this way. I can still remember that face, huh? And from then on, how peaceful her face was. Small thing. You know, it was a small little ceremony. There were two or three of us there. But it was an eternal salvation. 1 degree of grace is greater than the whole of the created universe. But that's not the way we look on things. We need a lot more excitement. We need a lot more I don't know what. So we have that dimension of this text here, which I think is quite important. The way that God works, and we let him work. He's going to work his way. He's not going to work our way. And so we better get used to it. In fact, rejoice in it. Imagine sometime when you get a chance, study a bit on the history of baptism. Huh? It began as a Jewish rite. It was part of becoming a Jew. And of course, the washing in water is part of the mikvah. I mean, it's still part of Orthodox Jewry, right? It's the way people prepare to enter into the cult. When a woman finishes her period, she must go to a mikvah. She must be cleansed because her life with her husband is a life of worship. And she has to be prepared, you know, in that whole life of worship. So she has to go through a mikvah, a bath. John the Baptist took this conversion rite and invited all of Israel to go through it, to have a conversion. Water. Jesus began. Now you see, when the water touched him, you see, it was then changed. He's Israel. And he's there. And he's opening himself up to the whole plan of the Father. And so it behooves us, as it tells us in Matthew, Jesus tells John, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. That is, to fulfill the whole plan of God. And so I do this, and from now on, it's stamped with the mark of my passion. I've committed myself now to be the servant of God. The Father's voice announces him. This is my servant. This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Huh? Just taking the lines from Isaiah and changing it from servant to son. Those mystics who are trying to get us to understand what happened at that moment. With water. With water. And from then on, being baptized into Christ brings divine life. And that's what these people all over the world are getting ready for. And we're getting ready to recommit it. And we too will be sprinkled or bless ourselves with water. What a marvelous thing, huh? What a vocation God gave to water. To be the bearer of divine life. Isn't that amazing? God gave everything its vocation, you know. There's a little story, just to give you an idea of how people think, you know, who are in the biblical world. Tobacco came along late, and there was no blessing in the Talmud for tobacco. And so tobacco said to God, I mean, I need a blessing. Everything has a blessing. I don't have a blessing. God said, well, the Talmud's already written. I can't do anything about it. That's the way they look. And he said, but I'll make this as your blessing. I'll make it that no one will ever be embarrassed to ask for you or begrudge to give you. That'll be your blessing. Now, everyone should still quit smoking. It's not that, you know. But so it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And water. Look at the vocation God gave to water, to say nothing of the vocation he gave to wheat and wine. These are precious. And they enter into the very constitution of who we are. We could reflect on that. This so available, so common, all over the place. And yet, it is the instrument of giving us divine life because it joins us to the baptism of Jesus, which was completed on the cross. I have a baptism with which I am to be baptized, and how I am straitened until it be accomplished, meaning the fulfillment of that baptism that he received from John, you know, which made it from then on not just an Israel, you know, a Jewish conversion rite. It made it identity with Jesus. And finally, in the power, when he rose from the dead, from then on, every time the church baptizes, in fact, any time anybody baptizes who wants to do what the church does, it's a baptism. Do you know that? If you're somewhere and you finally decide, I want to become a Christian, and there's nobody around but a pagan, you explain, will you pour water on me and intend to do what Christ did? Yes, well then do it. And you're baptized. It's that important and that widespread. So today we can reflect a lot on this. The mercy of God to come and touch us like this. Do you know whether you're baptized or not? Somebody saw it happen. If you were an adult, you remember yourself. And since they saw it happen, and since they did it, and they poured water on you, or put you in the, you know, immersed you, they can sign a paper saying, this person received baptism. And now they are in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm.